Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, Jekyll and Hyde, light and dark. When we look at these characters, in the first two cases, two different characters, that is Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, we tend to think one is good, one is bad. Because that's how we divide people up, especially people we don't know. Benchley, the humorist, said there are two kinds of people. There are people who insist on dividing people into two kinds, and those who don't. And we tend to be the two kind dividing people. When we read the Torah, it's clear, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys. And we take that same binary way of thinking, good and bad, like we're computers, right? Working with ones and zeros. And we don't only apply it to others, we also apply it to ourselves. Like Jekyll and Hyde are two sides of the same character. There's the good, kind Jekyll and the evil, monstrous Hyde. And that theme, by the way, runs through literature. There are a lot of books about doubles. Dostoevsky even has a novel called The Double. Poe wrote about it in a short story called William Wilson. There's a famous Scottish novel called The Private Memoirs of a Justified Sinner by Hogg, in which he takes one person and narrates the same story from two different sides, and the sides are the same. And we have that, it seems, in Judaism too. This idea that you are dark and light, we call it a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer HaRa, a good inclination and an evil inclination. And if you only take the first step in the examination of this, you think that's how people work. Sometimes we feel really bad. Not as in we feel miserable or upset or uncomfortable, but we feel like doing something that is bad. Sometimes we're even aware that we're doing it while we're doing it. I know I shouldn't say this, but of course, the more you think about these sorts of divisions, the more complicated they get. I'm thinking about this in part because just the other night I saw the play Wicked, where you're supposed to know who's good and who's bad, but then, like any good story, things start to complicate themselves. Because that's how the world actually works. And it's also how people actually work, and the rabbis knew that. The Yetzer Hara is translated as the evil inclination, and you would think that Judaism is a continual battle against the evil inclination. The idea being, all you have to do is uproot this badness from you, and everything will be great. But in fact, the rabbis tell a famous story about the time the evil inclination was captured and held prisoner. And you know what happened? No one built a house, and no chicken laid an egg. In other words, the same animating, vigorous, vital energy that allows people to create, to achieve, to accomplish, is also implicated in the bad stuff we do to one another. We are intermixed, intertwined creatures. Our drives are marbled through us instead of being clear and distinct and discrete. And that makes life much more complicated. Among other things, it tells you that our moral progress will be incremental. It will be in steps. It will be in bits. That you're not going to snap your fingers and be wonderful tomorrow if you're terrible today. You have to set realistic goals. Do you know the joke about the two guys who are in the forest and they spot a tiger who's looking at them hungrily? I don't know how tigers look hungry, but just go with me for a minute. I don't know, he's salivating or something. And one of them starts to lace up his boots. And the other one says, what are you, crazy? You can't outrun a tiger. He says, don't have to outrun the tiger. Just have to outrun you. You don't have to be perfect. These are just incremental gains that you have to make in the world. And that's what our tradition is about. Nowhere does it say you have to be perfect, or even that you have to completely transform yourself, because after all, the day after Yom Kippur, if you go to synagogue, you say the morning confessional about your sins. And you would think you don't even have time yet to have sinned. But the assumption is not a day goes by that we don't do, or at least, God knows, say something that we shouldn't do or shouldn't say. And that's because our drives are all interlinked with one another. And so we don't have divided souls. We have souls that are like a mosaic. They're cracked and fractured and put together and pasted together, and they shift, to shift the metaphor, like a kaleidoscope, and sometimes we're good in this area and sometimes good in that area, and it's hard to figure out. And that's why when someone tells me he thinks so-and-so is a good guy, but I know so-and-so is a bad guy, what I automatically think is so-and-so, like the rest of us, is a good guy and a bad guy. And it helps if we know this in terms of the way we judge other people. If someone is mean to you, it doesn't mean that someone is mean. It's more complicated than that. We all know that somebody can shine in one part of their lives and not shine in another. There are very few people who are shot through and through with goodness or badness, and I suspect when you get to the bottom of it, the truth is there's no one entirely like that. So what's the program here? If Jacob and Esau are both combinations, and by the way, that's a perfect example, of course, because Esau is the one who gets cheated. We're not so fond of Esau, but he didn't do anything. He comes to his father expecting the birthright, only to find out that his younger brother, who's the one we worship, right, who's Israel, who's Jacob, has cheated him. And even if you can make some sort of legalistic case that Esau really gave away the birthright, if he really gave it away, then Jacob wouldn't have had to fool his father Isaac, right? If the deal was on the up and up, then you don't have to go to the parent company and pretend that, in fact, you're the other guy. And after it's discovered, you don't have to run away from home, which Jacob has to do. So even in the story of these opposing characters in Jewish tradition, we see how complicated it is. How Jacob runs away and Esau is left to cry out to his father pitifully and pathetically, "Don't you have a blessing left for me?" And that when we talked earlier about ladders, which you remember we did, and I said that that Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta said God makes ladders for some people to go up and some people to go down. More accurate would be God makes ladders for all of us to sometimes go up and sometimes go down. And the people in our tradition that we venerate and that we admire are people who end up somehow through the normal human struggle to be better going up more than they go down. It's what Rambam says. You should always think of your deeds as perfectly evenly balanced, and what you do right now will tip the scales. So what's the program? The best advice, I think, that anyone can give us is Rabbi Chaim Halberstam, who said when he was a young rabbi, he decided he was going to change the world. But as he got out into the world, he realized that the world was actually a pretty big place. And he wasn't quite ready to change the world, so he thought, okay, I will change my city. But he realized that it's very hard to get beyond the walls of your own congregation and speak to the entire city. So he became more realistic as he moved into his rabbinate and moved towards middle age, and he decided he was going to transform his congregation. But you know what? Some congregations, this will surprise you, have politics. And this will surprise you even more, sometimes not everyone agrees with a rabbi. Shocking, I know. That was true then, it's true now. Rabbi Chaim Halberstam realized he wasn't going to be able to transform his whole congregation because some people agreed with him and some people didn't. So he thought, you know what, I'm going to start by being realistic. I'm going to start by changing my family. But now his kids were grown and his wife knew him too well. And they didn't listen to him either. And so when he told his disciples this story, he said to them, now I am an old man. And I am going to begin by changing myself. And even that is not easy. But that's where we start. Where all ladders start, according to the poet Yeats, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. That's where we start. Bit by bit, day by day, knowing that we won't turn from muck to light in an instant, and we won't be perfect, and we will backslide, and we will sin, and we will hurt, and we will be hurt. We can't be perfect, but we can be better, a little better, day by day, with all the combination of drives and gifts and blessings and challenges that God has given us. That's our task. It's a sacred task to return to God your soul a little bit brighter, a little bit more burnished, a little deeper, and a little better. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.